Good morning, everyone. I hope there's sound. Can you all hear me? Barb is asking, is there any sound? Okay, yes, there is sound. Good. I was going to say, I was hearing a moment ago. In fact, Lynn, I wanted to say that I love how when I come in on Sunday mornings, how you're playing that music as I enter. It almost made me late today, though, because I decided to sit in the chair behind me and really just soak in that music. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I'm the minister. I need to get up. I need to. But I love it. I really love that 15-minute, I'm going to call it intro. Yeah, it sets a sacred space. I think it's great. So I just wanted to share that with you. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to our weekly gathering. I'm happy to see you all. And we're going to now set our sacred space another way. It's a traditional way, not only here at Awakening Together, but it's traditional at, you know, just churches all over the world, where we begin by greeting one another and sharing our joy and love with one another and sharing our peace with one another. So I'm going to play a song that I traditionally play during this time. It is Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten. Everyone, please enjoy setting the sacred space.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful start to the day and start to the week. Sunday is officially the first day of the week, so it's also a wonderful start to the week. I want to begin by sharing Awakening Together's statement of purpose and one of our core values. First, our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. That is why we are here. Core value number 5, I thought, was a nice fit for our topic today. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And I will refer back to that when I get to my talk later this morning. First, I have some announcements I want to share. One is actually a Christmas message from Brent Haskell. So let me read to you what he has written. The Christmas season is a time when we remember. We remember family and friends, and especially we remember that which brings happiness to our lives, the presence of love in our hearts. We celebrate the birth and life of the one we call Jesus. However, Jesus himself desires not to be seen as unique or special, but that we honor and cherish every being with exactly the same feelings that we extend to him. The challenge he brings to us each moment, not only at Christmas, is to see every person as himself and as God, and to treat them accordingly. While so many people these days feel so isolated and alone and terrified, that they see no path except to kill others, the simple message of Jesus is that such frightened children need and deserve only love. Above all, his message is not to join them in their world of fear and hatred by calling them enemies. Our Christmas gift to you is our love, which we extend to each of you, our family and friends, but which we also try to extend to every person with whom we share this world. For when we do that, we shall know and experience the true meaning of Christmas, and we shall experience that same love that we give. Merry Christmas to you all, from Brent and Sydney Haskell. All right, Phil is saying he'd like to have a written copy of Brent Haskell's Christmas message. So when I post the weekly gathering today, I will link to a PDF copy of that message so that anyone who wants it can have it. How's that? And, of course, I know that you all know that we have a winter retreat coming up very soon, February 26th to 28th. It's going to be right here in Colorado, just down the road from my house at Canyon City, Colorado, at the Abbey. And Brent Haskell is going to be one of the retreat leaders. Brent and I will be there along with Jay McCormick and Jacqueline Eckert. This retreat was planned to be as inexpensive as one can make a retreat. One reason for that is because we are going to have a minister ordination ceremony as part of the retreat experience, and we wanted those people who are being ordained to be able to easily afford to come. But that same price is being offered to everyone. So it's a very inexpensive retreat. It's also a very small and intimate retreat by design. No more than 40 people, including the staff. That doesn't matter whether you're staying at the retreat center, whether you're commuting from nearby, or for some of the locals, even if you're coming Saturday only, you're a part of that limit of 40 people. Right now, we only have 15 slots left. And so if anyone is interested and hasn't registered yet, I recommend registering, because once those 15 slots are filled, there will be a waiting list. But unless somebody cancels, you won't be able to come to the retreat. Lynn has put a link to the retreat information in the room. If you are listening to an audio later, or if you're listening on the radio now, just know that you can go to our website, awakening-together.org, look underneath events, and you'll see the information there for the 2016 winter retreat. Again, if this is your calling to come to this retreat, please register sooner rather than later, because once those last 15 slots are gone, I won't be able to help you. That is the limit for this retreat. It's inexpensive and intimate. double I. and it will stay that way. All right, so another conference that's coming up, one that is not as inexpensive nor as intimate. So if you like the other kind of retreat, there is, of course, the huge Course in Miracles conference coming up in Las Vegas. That conference is going to be in April 8 to 10, 2016. And traditionally, as you all know, the price for this retreat goes up and up and up the closer we get to the conference. Right now, the current price is $549. That price is going to go up on December 31st. Now, this $549 does not include your room, so your room is in addition to that, but they got a special deal with the hotel for this conference. I think the rooms are like $99 a night, something like that. So if you're interested in the big Course in Miracles conference, I also recommend registering for that sooner rather than later so that you can get this better price of $549 before it changes on December 31st. And in a way, this conference has expanded a little bit beyond A Course in Miracles. This year, they'll have John Mark Hammer from The Way of Mastery, now called JM. And they're also going to have Mari Perrone from A Course of Love, both of which you could say are in the Course in Miracles family, but they're not strictly A Course in Miracles. So, again, please register for that conference by December 31st if you're interested in getting a conference slot for $549. Also, I want to share with you that starting the beginning of the year, Awakening Together is offering two new classes. One class is called The Wisdom of Kabbalah, or The Wisdom of Kabbalah. I hear it pronounced both ways. That class is only 3 weeks long, but I will tell you, I describe this class as a pow. It's kind of like getting hit right between the eyes with realization of what God is. It's not a realization that you can naturally go back and state and tell people about. When you do, you find yourself just using all of the same words that everybody else has always used in their feeble attempts to describe what God is. But this realization can really set in for you during this three-week class. In some way, the symbols are quite different than what many of us are used to, but the Kabbalists do an excellent, excellent job of contemplating God very deeply and therefore having some incredible realizations. And that's what we're going to do during this three-week class. We're going to follow their lead. We're going to contemplate God very deeply, and the realizations that come to you may not be able to be stated, but it could shift your idea or perception of God forever. So if you're interested in that, or if you're just curious about Kabbalah, please register for our three-week class. It's $60. There are two class times to choose from, one in the daytime, one in the evening. And you can get all of that information at our website under the classes menu. The other class that is beginning in January is True Discernment. True Discernment is 11 weeks. It is our most popular class. More people have taken True Discernment than any of the other classes that we offer, and everyone that takes it seems to rave about it. And you may have heard some of that raving, which is why people are so interested in taking it. We only offer it once, maybe twice a year. It's not offered all of the time. So if you are interested in True Discernment, this is a wonderful time to get involved and take it. Again, it's an 11-week class. The cost is $220. There are scholarships available. They would be 50% at $110 if a scholarship is needed. And again, you can find out more information about that class, including all of the objectives that will be satisfied during the class and the class times. Again, there's a daytime class and a nighttime class available at our website under the classes menu. And then the last announcement I have to make is about tonight. Tonight is our monthly Awakening Together satsang that happens the third Sunday of every month. And tonight our guest is Liz Cronkite. Some of you may have heard of Liz before. Liz has been around in the Course community for quite a while. Liz is the author of a couple of different books. One book is based on A Course in Miracles. It's kind of a simplified translation of A Course in Miracles. It's called The Message of A Course in Miracles, a translation of the text in plain language. She's also the author of another book called Four Habits for Inner Peace. She's also known as an ACIM mentor. She does a lot more mentoring than teaching. But the reason that I have invited her is because I have perceived her for years to be extraordinarily clear. And I can't emphasize that enough. Extraordinarily clear. And so tonight I thought I would invite her to be our satsang guest so that you can hear that clarity for yourself. So please come tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and you'll hear me interview Liz. All right, so that's it for our announcements. So now I'm going to move to the more sacred portion of our weekly gathering, beginning with our opening song. This song is called My Grown-Up Christmas List, My Grown-Up Christmas List, and the artist singing is Kelly Clarkson.
Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasy.
Christmas list. What is
I'm going to go directly into silence, and then from within that silence, there will emerge a prayer. Please join with me. As I listen to Kelly Clarkson sing of her grown-up Christmas list, I see visions of John Lennon dancing in my head. And I am reminded of something that happened about 3 years ago when some children and their teachers were shot at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I'm reminded of my New Year's Eve address right here in this sanctuary, although it was called ACIM Gather then. And I remember that I very sincerely called for us to watch our minds for that which leads to appearances such as the events at Sandy Hook. Well, here we are 3 years later, and of course, things have not gotten better. And if you watch the world stage like one watches a drama on television, you see a lot of positioning happening. And you realize it's possible that the world is heading for a script that is even more violent and more filled with attack and more filled with hatred and more filled with ideas of I and them, my team and enemies. And maybe this won't happen. And of course, if so, we celebrate that. We all have the same grown-up Christmas list, at least most of us think we do. We want peace, joy, as she says in the song, we want love to last forever. And yet because we are the ones who create this appearance called the world, and we see that the appearance is going in a direction that seems different from our grown-up Christmas list, it is helpful to look back at ourselves again. Sincerely, with heart, without judgment, and with willingness. And this time of year, when we're about to embark on what we call a new year, is traditionally a time of year when this self-examination happens. And so today I pray that we do it joyously, with clarity, and with willingness. And I pray that we see what is most helpful for us to see right now, so we can go beyond intentions, beyond wishes, to an actual practice that may indeed prove to be truly helpful. Amen. And with that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to Stephen Mead. He's been on my mind a lot lately. He just keeps popping into my mind. And I thought, my gosh, I haven't even heard his voice in so long. And I know he teaches here in the sanctuary in the mornings, but in the mornings I'm either teaching MPP classes or spending time in meditation and contemplation. So it's a time of day that I don't make it into the sanctuary. So I thought, I want to hear Stephen's voice. I'll just ask him to be my reader. And yay, he agreed. So I'm happy to hear your voice again, Stephen. The mic is yours.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the introduction, Regina. Happy to be here, and hello to everybody. So the reading today is an article by Jeff Foster called The End of Terrorism. And we begin. Terrorism, violence, hatred, the holy war, and the urge for revenge begin in each and every one of us. None of us are separate from the river of humanity. None of us are individuals divided from the totality, but part of something greater, contributing to the river, having our being in the river, and in that sense, responsible for the entirety of the river. You are the world, and the world is you. As the illustrious Krishnamurti was fond of saying, violence begins when we divide ourselves from the river and from each other, at least in our imaginations. We turn from our aliveness and define ourselves conceptually, reducing ourselves to a thing, good, bad, right, wrong, Christian, Jew, atheist, believer, non-believer, a success, a failure, Indian, American, Australian. Truth becomes a weapon. We take sides. We see others. We forget our shared nature, that we are all brothers and sisters, the same life force moving, the same consciousness, the water of life. Internally, we go to war with our own thoughts, our own feelings. We turn from our pain, our doubt, our fear, our longings, call them negative or wrong or even evil. We split ourselves in two, the good me versus the bad me, the saint versus the sinner, the light versus the dark, the holy versus the unholy. We may even try to get rid of or annihilate our sadness, our doubt, our fear, our sexual urges, our impure thoughts, the beginning of genocide. Within, it all begins within. What we reject in ourselves, we end up rejecting in others. In here becomes out there in the blink of an eye. Their imperfections, their flaws, their pains, their joys, their doubts, their weakness. Really, our own. Their strange thoughts, their wrong or shameful feelings, their darkness, their sin, really our own. We try to change them, fix them, save them. We judge them, look down on them, pity them, fear them. In our frustration, we may harm them. In our rage, we may even kill them. In our search for wholeness, not recognizing our own wholeness, forgetting the love that we are, we may destroy everything and everyone around us in the name of freedom and in the name of God. The way to end terrorism is to see it, understand it, cut it at its roots. See how the war begins inside. See how the violence begins in each and every one of us. Every time we push a thought or feeling away, shame it, blame it, every time we turn our anger, our sadness, our doubt, our fear, every time we judge or attack someone else instead of facing our own resolved trauma, we sow the seeds of terror. Yet every time we open our hearts, make space for that which is bothering us, bring a kindly, curious attention to the sore place inside, breathe into the very thing we want to destroy, we are remembering our vastness, recontacting the love that burns inside, and become a part of the solution, the river. And then Because you have breathed, friend, perhaps humanity has a chance. And that's the reading.
Thank you, Stephen. And it was indeed a joy for me to hear your voice, just as I suspected it would be. As soon as I, you know, heard even the first few words and heard that tone that is so familiar as Stephen, it was just fun for me. So thanks. And, hello, Nikki. And the reading, of course, is magnificent. And I posted this reading on the Awakening Together blog a few weeks ago when I first came across it. So I know that some of you have already read it and have already had the time to contemplate it. Just as, you know, Dove did a very similar teaching only 2 weeks ago. And I said then, I don't know if I will still do the teaching I felt guided to do. We will see, you know, since Dove just did it. But the guidance to come to this message did not go away. So here I am with what appears to be the same teaching. But you know, I recently started reading the Quran. And the Quran has an awful lot of repetition in it. And I would imagine it must get criticized for its repetition. Because when I read the introduction to the Quran by the translator, he defended the repetition. And I don't know if he would have done that if there hadn't already been criticism. But when he defended the repetition, I knew that he was correct. I used to be a corporate trainer, and one of the things we learn as corporate trainers is anything that's really important, say it many, 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 many times. You know, you can't repeat it enough. And so I think it's fine that we have this repetition, the same teaching again 2 weeks later. Because the truth is, that the world we see comes from us. And I think the truth probably also is that we all know that intellectually. And yet at the same time during our day, at different points in the day, we forget. And we go right back into the inner attack that Jeff Foster is talking about in this message. And we continue to be what Peace Pilgrim called a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution. So what feels right for me today? I guess I could say what I feel absolutely guided to do is just to be a bit repetitious but I'm feeling guided to be repetitious with a lot of space. So you may hear me talking very slowly. It seems that I am being told through intuition that we need the space today. To give the chance for this message to marinate in the silence. To go beyond the intellect where we have the message mastered. And to seep into the cells of our being. so that somehow it becomes more a part of the fiber of our humanness. So that without judgment, we can begin to catch ourselves more and more. When we are attacking without realizing it. And then change our mind on the spot. On the spot. Right then, right there. Change our mind. We all know that if we judge ourselves, one another, or some other that seems very far away, even an other that may not seem personal to us at all, it may seem to be a corporation, or a government, or an organization. But we all know intellectually that when we judge, we are attacking. And we all know intellectually, that this attack is what paints the picture of the world. But sometimes, maybe often, we attack anyway. And we don't only attack those that are way out there. We attack those that are closest to us. Those that we know through the sanctuary. Those that are our family members. Those that are our co-workers. In fact, the greatest opportunity that we have for attack is with those that are in our orbit the most. And then again, there is the one that's in our orbit most of all, the most of the most. And that's ourself. We can attack ourselves by calling ourselves stupid. We can attack ourselves by judging our attacks of others. Even if I have a thought of attack towards another, there's a way to rest into that attack so that it becomes a non-attack. We can rest into any attack and it becomes a non-attack. But if I then judge myself for attacking, I miss the opportunity and I just double up on the attack. Here in the sanctuary, when it used to be called ACIM Gather, there was a time when we used to talk a lot about double dosing on ego, judging our own judgments. That's exactly what it is. And as Jeff so eloquently states in this reading that Stephen read today, we attack ourselves in a lot of different ways. He says, we may even try to get rid of or annihilate our sadness, our doubt, our fear, our sexual urges, and I will add to that our junk food urges, our impure thoughts. That brings up an interesting problem for some people. Kathy's asking me to turn up the volume. I need to go to another place to do that. Let me see. I'm just going to pause and do that. Actually, my volume is all the way up. So there's nothing I can do but maybe talk louder. Anyway, the suggestion that we let go of trying to get rid of our sadness, our doubt, our fear, our sexual urges, our junk food urges, our impure thoughts, etc., creates a problem for some people. And the problem is, but that's bad, and I want to be good. Or the problem is, that's ego, and I want to let go of ego. So, how do I allow my sadness, my doubt, my fear, my sexual urges, my junk food urges, my impure thoughts, and become good, and let go of ego? And in a way, those are two different things, in a way. So let me talk about them separately. First of all, the idea that I am bad and I want to be good is also ego. In fact, Jeff says in this article, we split ourselves in two, the good me versus the bad me. This is a part of the attack. This is a part of what's pictured in the world. Whether you are talking to ISIS or Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Jeb Bush, it doesn't matter. They all think that they are trying to be good by getting rid of bad. It's so pictured out there, trying to be good, getting rid of bad. They all think it. And where does their script of thought come from? What writes the script of their thought, which they are believing? We all do. So So every time that I believe my feeling is bad, not spiritual is just another language for bad. It's not spiritual to be afraid. It's not spiritual to be sad. It's not spiritual to be angry. It's not spiritual to hate. It's not spiritual to be jealous. All of those thoughts are the same as I am bad. And every time we believe I am bad, I need to be good, we're adding to that energy that is being expressed through ISIS and Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and Bernie Sanders and everyone else. So one idea that we need to watch within ourselves is that idea, I am bad, I need to be good. Let me talk a moment about my purpose is letting go of ego. Because that is my purpose. And I think that many of you, if not all of you, are joined in that purpose with me. In fact, our core values say that we are joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. And the way that we do that is by letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. That's just another way of saying we're here to let go of ego. So again, the problem that many people face when Jeff says, we may even try to get rid of or annihilate our sadness, our doubt, our fear, our sexual urges, our junk food urges, our impure thoughts. And then he points to that as the beginning of genocide. He points to that wanting to get rid of these ego thoughts and ego emotions as attack. Again, some of us perceive a problem. But there is no problem if we understand what let go of means. Let go of, get rid of, are not the same thing. With get rid of, first there must be some type of a judgment as bad, and then in some way or another a warlike attack to push that bad thing out of this territory that I call me. To let go of is as simple as relaxing and doing nothing. There's no warlike behavior in it. There's no warlike energy in it. You've often heard me express it as rest, accept, and trust. Rest the mind. Accept how I feel and trust this is healing. I like the way Jeff describes it too. He says, every time we push a thought or feeling away, again, that's the attacking energy. Every time we push a thought or feeling away, shame it, blame it, every time we turn from our anger, our sadness, our doubt, our fear. Every time we judge or attack someone else, instead of facing our own unresolved trauma, we sow the seeds of terror, meaning terrorism. But then he goes on to say, yet every time we open our hearts, make space for that which is bothering us, bring a kindly, curious attention to the sore place inside, breathe into the very thing we want to destroy, we are remembering our vastness. We become a part of the solution. So think about that for a moment. Think about the fact that in order to be true miracle workers, in order to be a part of that energy that can literally paint a different world picture, all we have to do is relax in the face of our own attacks. My God. That's so simple. All right, so let's practice. Let's practice right now. Go ahead and look for something. Look for something that you know that you're resistant to. It could be anything. It could be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or ISIS or your husband or your wife or your child's choices for drugs. Anything that you know you resist. Go ahead and look at it. Go ahead and allow those feelings of resistance. Go ahead and allow that judgment, that anger, that hurt. Yeah, your judgment of Donald Trump's hair is just as good as anything else. Go ahead and allow it right now. Allow the buildup. And then, without trying to push it away, relax. Let it be there, but relax. Breathe. Rest. Relax. If you need help, go ahead and help yourself. You can start at the head or you can start at the toes. Relax the top of the head or relax the bottom of the feet and work your way down or up the body. Breathe again. You can imagine yourself relaxing into a warm hot tub. Just relax in whatever way is helpful to you. Don't expect any certain result. Don't expect that that feeling will quickly disappear. It may hang around for a long time. Don't expect that the next time your eyes land on the one or the event that is a trigger, that it won't come back, because it might. Just relax to the best of your ability. Relax to the best of your ability now. And relax to the best of your ability next time. And if someone asks you what your New Year's Eve resolution is this year, you can say, it's to do nothing, to the best of my ability, every time I remember. It's to relax when I think my body's out of shape and I have to work out in order to be good. It's to rest and breathe when my children make another scary decision, at least one that scares me. It's to rest and allow when my partner starts telling me what an awful person I am once again. It's to breathe whenever I see my mind wanting to pick between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, when I find myself wanting to take sides in that debate. My New Year's resolution is to learn to be. Really, be. Through relaxing, through resting. I want to become a master at doing nothing every time I see an attack arise within myself. Rest. Relax. Breathe. And trust. Trust that this is the solution. In fact, Jeff ends his article by saying, and then, because you have breathed, my friend, perhaps humanity has a chance. I'm going to move into another song now. This song is by Kirtana. It's called Happy Birthday, Jesus. And it gives us the opportunity to contemplate this teaching that we know so well a little more, to allow it to really get into the cells, the fiber of the being, so that when we find ourselves attacking, whether we're attacking something outside of us or inside of us. By the way, we will find ourselves attacking. So that when we find ourselves attacking, we can remember to rest, relax, and breathe. That is letting go. And I mentioned earlier that, again, some of us still think that we're bad trying to be good. And I said that's just another idea we need to let go of. So when you see that idea arising, that you are bad because of the food you eat, or you're bad because of the thoughts in your mind, or you're bad because of the emotions in the body now, remember, that's just another opportunity to relax. It doesn't matter what kind of attack arises, the answer is always the same. So let's contemplate this while we listen to this song, Happy Birthday, Jesus, by Kirtana. And then, as usual, if you feel to donate to Awakening Together, either now or later, that donation is deeply appreciated.
Jesus, lives and lives have passed since we saw you last at Gethsemane. But you are in our hearts and minds this silent night as we light and light the hope of light to be. We shun the love you offer with your outstretched hand, for we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bonds of hate. We have not ceased since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name. Could you please send another star? Could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. I don't know if we'd know you if you came again and you walked and taught among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me, so I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday, may we live as one. May peace take root inside us, may your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light a light in hope of light to come.
You know, the Prophet Muhammad said that if you ask Allah for mercy and you are really willing to receive that mercy, that Allah will erase all of your sins, all of your mistakes, and all of its effects. Doesn't that teaching sound familiar? This is the time where you all get to share. And we're always very, very excited, the one of us who was the minister, to hear a voice other than our own at this point. Just like I was excited to hear Stephen, I will be excited to hear you. And Sharon's going to thrill me first. Sharon, the mic is yours.
Hello, good morning. I have my dog Scruffy all of a sudden came over to give me a lot of kisses just now. Your service just took my breath away today. I could feel just those beautiful chills through me. And I, you know, on a different, deeper level of me understanding really that I am the world, came through me today from listening and truly letting it seep in. So thank you, Regina, Stephen, Lynn, and all of you. I feel wonderful, absolutely wonderful. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Yeah, it is nice to know that all we have to do is relax. And I think the reason that some of us feel so wonderful right now is that's that inner confirmation that we've just heard simple truth. And like I said, we're all gonna, quote, make mistakes. We're all gonna mess up. We're all gonna, we're all gonna judge ourselves, our emotions, our thoughts, one another, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or the moderators of the debates or someone. But we can relax when we do it. Nikki, the mic is yours.
Beautiful. Thank you. When I first posted the reading of today, The End of Terrorism, it was on November 18th. And just I believe a couple days before that, I had listened to the thought song that Regina did with Miranda McPherson. And there was one thing, and there's not very much that I remember from that, but there is one thing that I remember that jumped out. And it's when she said, "Tell me an ego strategy you still hope one day will work." If we just tweak things in the right direction, lose the weight, get the right partner, learn the latest spiritual lingo, then I can relax. But why not relax here and now? And when I heard her say that, and with that quote, that writing from Jeff Foster, I was able to see some things that I still held on to. It was like this idea that I'll let go of this ego thought when I when I accomplish this. You know, and it's ever so subtle, because I really hadn't been able to look at this idea about something that I had been holding on to for a very long time. You know, just to be able to look at it from that angle and see, you know, that ego strategy still hope one day will work. And to be very honest, you know, I surrendered and allowed that part of me to really come up and be seen. Really, I mean, no matter how ugly or spiritual, that's that's such a little trick. You know, just let it come up and just allow it to fully be seen without judgment, without criticism, without the idea that I need it to stop, or that if I allow it, if I relax into this, then I can get the result I was looking for. You know, both sides of that is just an amazing awareness and allowance. So thank you so much, Regina. And there is something that also happens for me when I hear Regina's voice. It's like my mind has been trained to surrender when I hear her voice. And it just relaxes. And so to hear her super soft this morning, I just completely go into relaxation. And usually I don't have much to say when that happens. Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you, Nikki. And I was also very happy to hear your voice. You know, it's funny how much we're talking this morning about the joy of hearing each other's voices. Because one of the things that you all said last week when we had the Awakening Together Sanctuary Remodel Forum was that you wanted more groups, more purposeful interactivity. And this will give us the opportunity to hear each other's voices much more, to get to know each other much better. And so I am looking forward to introducing new groups into the sanctuary as we go into the new year, so that we can really bond and hear one another's clarity and even hear one another's confusion and support each other as we find our way of relaxing with even that. Kathy, the mic is yours.
Oh, I also very much enjoyed this morning's sharing. Thank you so much for letting that, you know, come through the way it did. It was very, impactful for me. God, so much. I just can't even tell you. And the softness of your voice, I also enjoyed very much, but it was almost to the point where I couldn't hear you. So there is a fine line there, I guess. But I appreciated the gentleness of that also. What I wanted to tell again, I'm sure some of you may have heard this before, but I also had the message to relax. In a very visual way, it came to me a month or so ago when I was still able to use the pool in the backyard, and I was exercising, in a stationary way. And the sun was very brilliant in a blue sky that day, and I had sunglasses on and noticed the light dancing off of the water. I had a big brimmed sun hat on as well, trying to, you know, kind of shade some of the brilliance of it. It was just absolutely brilliant that day. And I had my eyes closed and was using the exercise time also as a meditative time and asking. And so the message that came to me as I was in this space of quiet was relax. And what happened was I noticed, while my eyes were closed, I noticed the dancing of the water on the inside of my eyelids. And it was jumping like up and down in an up and down motion, like in a yes motion, relax. That just kept coming to me over and over. And afterwards, I reflected on that experience and was thinking, gosh, my eyes were closed, and yet I saw this very vivid picture, beautiful picture. Who saw that? What was looking at that? I had all kinds of interesting questions come to me. But the bottom line was, just like you just shared, both Nikki and Regina, you know, relax. And that feels like such a wonderful message. So I appreciate everybody sharing. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, the very first time I ever heard the Holy Spirit say a word to me, that word was relax. In light, I see. The mic is yours.
Yeah, this is Jay. I've just logged in as my second identity here. What struck me when you spoke about this morning that I've had so much great experience with is that feeling like when you feel attacked or whatever that judgment is that you hold your mind in that spot or you don't respond to the attack, but you don't judge yourself or judge the one attacking either. It's just sort of a middle ground that you just stay in. And it's very much of a not doing anything kind of action. And what I noticed from doing that quite a lot now, it's almost my habitual way of being, is that it just fades in a matter of 60 seconds. It's literally gone. It's like it dies out. Whatever energy was associated with the judgment or the attack is whether you're the one wanting to initiate or on the other end of the attack. And I just appreciated the way Regina expressed that in a very loving way. So thank you for giving up the mic.
Thank you, In Light I See. And I enjoyed the way you expressed it too, Jay. I enjoyed how you expressed that when we relax, that energy dissipates. And there's some lovely Arabic characters in the room now, which since I have been, almost all of my reading now is based on Islam because of the Sufi group that is beginning in January. So I'm very accustomed to looking at the Arabic characters. They're in many of my books, although, of course, I can't read them. I have to go to the English translation. But they're lovely. So now when I see the Arabic characters, they remind me of the peace. Yeah, the peace that I find as I contemplate with the Sufis. And again, you all are invited to join with me in that group. The first Sufi contemplation group will happen here on Wednesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you're excited to join with a group now and hear everyone's voices, we already have a Course in Miracles group happening. That's every Tuesday evening here in the sanctuary at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So please join the Course in Miracles group. I'm not often there because I have a local study group on Tuesday evenings, but Lynn Johnson is often there. Igor, I think, is there. Jacqueline Eckert is there, as well as others. So please come and join with them. What I will do now is shift to our closing song. I want to thank you all for coming and listening to this message along with me. And also, I'm assuming, really recognizing your willingness to relax. That's what's being asked of us. So I mentioned to you all that I had visions of John Lennon dancing in my head. So I thought we would end with him. This is John Lennon's Happy Christmas.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young, a very merry Christmas and a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
Is over if you want it. Again, I want to thank you all for coming and being with me today. Please remember that tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here in the sanctuary is our monthly satsang with Liz Cronkite as our guest. And if you want to come earlier, the hour before, I will be teaching from my Seven Steps journal. And the hour before that, Lori will be here teaching from the text. So feel free to join us this evening, and I look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.